29. In Lupercal's court. You stand and wait patiently, arms outstretched, as the fitters machine your warplate into place. You use the time to think, to run multiple tactical schemas in your head. Perturabo of Olympia had a reputation for such mental feats, but in your opinion, the reputation was largely undeserved. His plans were so complex, so precise, so cumbersome. They lacked panache. Panache is the mark of true war genius. You only let him orchestrate the whole thing, truth be told, as a favor, brother to brother. Something for him to do. Something to keep him busy. And, of course, to placate his constant needy yearning to prove himself against Rogel. Well, he's gone now. Gone to sulk, most likely, because at every turn Rogel has proven superior. Rogel, stolid and humourless as he seems, has some panache after all. It is such a damn shame Rogel decided to throw in with the other side. Such a damn stupid shame. It would have been a pleasure to have him at your right hand. He would have cracked that place open inside 2 weeks maximum. Faster if you'd goaded him. Yes, a shame. But then Rogel, for all his panache, has always been a dull conformist. Rogel didn't choose his side because he thought it was right. He chose it because it was safe. Oh, Rogel Dorn. You will be almost sorry to kill him. But you will console yourself that it is his own lack of imagination that has brought about his death. The fitters are taking forever. You have a headache. Some cloud of migraine that is either setting in or in retreat. Did you have a migraine before? You can't remember. You were busy. They are taking forever, fussing with the power connectors of your Talon, as if this is the first time they've done it. And they are whispering. They haven't done that before. Whispering to each other. What is it they are saying? Stop your whispers, you tell them. Softly, of course. They look at you, and you read alarm in their faces. No, more than alarm. Terror. Terror and puzzlement. One seems to cower, as though he fears you will strike at him. What's got into them? You were whispering, you explain. Whisper, whisper. It's annoying, stop it.
Yes, War Master, says one. Begging your forgiveness, War Master, says another.
There's a tone there you don't like, a hint they feel falsely accused. You let it slide. It's trivial, and you have more important things to do. They continue with the final fitting work, and they keep whispering, though more quietly. You decide to ignore it. You'll have a private word with Mal later, and instruct him to dole out punishments accordingly. Have them all demoted from the personal retinue and sent back to the arming decks. Another team can take their places and their honour. They step back. The court, your personal place of grace, falls silent. Even the walls hold their breath. The war gear, the serpent's scales, so miraculously fashioned by Kelbor Hal and his artificers, clings upon you like the burden of responsibility and decision, the weight of war, the substance of authority. The fitters bring the wolf pelt and hang it as a mantle around your shoulders. It takes four of them to lift it. The great beast indeed, taken on the moon of Davin, a lunar wolf for a true lunar wolf. You look for approval. Your attendants in the court smile and nod from their alcoves and ledges. Some bow. Some shiver and tuck themselves behind the drapes that line the chamber, unable to bear your magnificence. Some avert their gaze behind splayed fingers and cower, giggling in the orifices of the walls. You walk from your private chamber. Your plate feels light, as though they haven't adjusted it properly. Or perhaps you're just stronger. You've been feeling stronger these last few days. With the end in sight, that's a boost to your vengeful spirits. The prospect of victory at the end of a difficult compliance always feels uplifting. It takes away fatigue and makes you feel like yourself again. Unstoppable, vital, justified. You walk to the bridge. It's possible that they have relocated the bridge, because the walk seems to take longer than usual. Perhaps a structural reconfiguration as a result of the additional skins of armor you have ordered to sheathe the hull and fortify the primary compartments. The hallway is now too long, despite the lightness you feel. Corridors intersect and subdivide, leading to parts of the ship whose purposes you seem to have briefly forgotten. That's understandable. You had a lot on your mind in the past weeks, an inhuman burden of data to process and decisions to make. You have deliberately spent hours in meditative focus in the court, clearing your head of all extraneous thoughts, the usual mental garbage of workaday duty, to achieve a clarity with which to consider what really matters. A state of oneness, attuned to the core issues of the compliance. You can't be expected to remember where this sub-corridor leads, or what that side chamber is used for. That's the shipmaster's job. The walls breathe. It is very bright in the hallway, like being outdoors in the sunlight on the wide plains of Chagoris, or the bleached ever-deserts of Colchis. Light, almost sickly bright, strobes slightly, flickering through leaves swayed by the wind, or something like leaves. You don't care. You don't look. You can hear the whispering again, like dead leaves skittering in the breeze or shushing underfoot, like the dry wing cases of beetles, like whirring moths. What is it they are whispering? It's very annoying. You could almost make out the words. The name. One name, uttered and repeated.